Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, updates on two Steelers who have started the year on the injury list, those being Eli Rogers and Ola Adeniyi, both starting the year. With Eli, it was because of an ACL tear from the previous year. With Ola Adeniyi, it was because of a hamstring injury that he suffered at the end of the preseason. But the question for both guys is, when will they come back to the 53? Both are going to be eligible to return now during this bye week, or for Ola Adeniyi to be right after the bye week. The question is when will the Steelers elect to bring them back, or will they elect to bring them back at all? I think for Eli Rogers, certainly there's a question about where he fits in the pecking order at wide receiver right now. And for Ola Adeniyi, I think the question is, do the Steelers want to bring him back and put him in that rotation at edge rusher, or would they rather have this kind of a redshirt year for Ola Adeniyi and bring him back next season? So we'll talk about both of those players. We also need to talk about James Washington and the young rookie receiver. Look, he had a lot of hype coming out of preseason, coming out of training camp, and I was so impressed with how he played during camp and even into the preseason. You know, thus far through 6 weeks, he just hasn't been impressive so far. I want to talk about why that is so far. Again, how much of that is about James Washington? How much of that is about the offense as a whole? And is it time to worry with James Washington? So we'll break down his play today as well. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can even join our Facebook group. And you can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with the updates on those two players who have started the year on the injury list, those being Eli Rogers and Ola Adeniyi. Let's start with wide receiver Eli Rogers, because I think this one is the easier one, right? For Eli Rogers, you know, it's not about his health at this point. It's really about where he fits at wide receiver. Even at full strength, I don't know that Eli Rogers has a place on this roster anymore. But here's the deal with Eli. He's on PUP. He's eligible to come off of PUP now. He's eligible to start practicing, being activated to the 53, anytime in the next 5 weeks. But the problem for Eli is, I don't expect the Steelers to do that because, again, there isn't an open spot right now at wide receiver. You've got AB, you've got Juju, you've got James Washington there, and of course, Justin Hunter kind of working his way back into the starting lineup, and we'll talk about that when we talk about James Washington. But then you got Ryan Switzer there, who's taken over Eli's job as punt returner, and Switzer has been terrific as both the returner and at wide receiver in the slot, and he's played a little bit at running back as well at times. You know, Switzer's been fantastic on this team. You can make an argument that Ryan Switzer has been one of the best offseason acquisitions, if not the best offseason acquisition the Steelers made all year. I mean, John Bostic has been very good, but Morgan Burnett has been injured all year, and none of the other rookies are really making a significant impact right now. And so Ryan Switzer, kind of, you know, the best acquisition by default, again, right there with John Bostic. I just don't see a place right now for Eli Rogers on the roster. And again, if someone were to get injured, then yes, you can make an argument for bringing Eli Rogers back up, no doubt about it. But again, we have 5 weeks to make that determination. Otherwise, I expect Eli Rogers will get placed on injured reserve or potentially even released within the next 5 weeks, because that, you know, again, that's the timeline for Eli Rogers. And then going over to Ola Adeniyi, the situation is a little different for Adeniyi, because again, the Steelers elected to keep only three edge rushers on the roster, those being TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, and Anthony Ciccolo. Kind of a head-scratcher decision when it was made, when the 53 was announced, only keeping three outside linebackers, especially considering that TJ Watt had been injured at times. Bud Dupree certainly missed a significant amount of time throughout his career. And Ciccolo, again, is a suitable backup, but not great. And the Steelers still kind of are lacking a true, you know, pass rush specialist. I know TJ Watt, you know, is number two in sacks right now with six, but again, those came in two games, and in other games, he just hasn't been a consistent pass rusher. So a guy like Adeniyi is an interesting prospect for this team. He's an edge rusher the Steelers haven't really had in a while. He's someone who you can bring in kind of on passing downs and, you know, do the old Greg Lloyd, you know, just, you know, rush the quarterback type thing. Again, it's the kind of thing, though, the Steelers haven't done. And so the question for me is, do the Steelers even intend on bringing Ola Adeniyi back onto the 53? Or is this a situation where they're going to keep him on IR and kind of redshirt him for his rookie year and then bring him back next year in training camp and kind of, again, work with him as a more seasoned player in the NFL and, you know, kind of his second year? It's an interesting question. Chris Adamski of Trib Live talked to Ola Adeniyi last week, and Ola said, that, you know, he's been ready to go. He's healthy. Again, that hamstring injury that he had at the end of preseason, it was not a significant injury. The Steelers put him on IR, again, to kind of save him, right? They didn't want to expose him to the waivers. They didn't want to expose him on the practice squad or anything like that. They definitely felt like they wanted to keep him around. The question is, do they want to keep him around on the 53, or do they just want to keep him around for the future? And I think we're going to find that out here in the next couple weeks. Being on IR means that he is eligible to start practicing now, and he is eligible to come off of IR after week 8. And so we'll see what the Steelers do. Again, Adini, according to Chris Adamski of Trib Live, is completely healthy and ready to start practicing again, but he hasn't heard anything from the Steelers about if and when he is going to be allowed to start practicing again and then come off of injured reserve. Again, as I said, I think they should. I think, look, there's clearly a spot for him. You can cut Brian Allen, who was just activated off of the practice squad, put Brian Allen back on the practice squad, and then put Adini in there, and you can bring Adini in on some third down situations, again, to just rush the passer, a true pass rush specialist. It's not how Butler likes to use this defense. I get that. It would mean some sort of schematic changes, but again, I think Adini, showing what he did in the preseason, I'd like to see him given a chance in the NFL, especially considering some of the problems the Steelers have had getting a consistent pass rush on those big third downs. Again, you look no further than the last drive against the Bengals on Sunday for a drive when, again, the Steelers just, you know, again, they needed to get pressure. They tried to manufacture pressure by bringing Hilton, by bringing pressure in different ways, and they were just completely unable to. I'd like to see Adini given a chance. I just don't know that that's going to be the case. So again, you know, with both players, I think it's much more likely that both are going to kind of be kept around on the injury list all season. And with Eli, he's got a one-year deal, so maybe he asked to be released so he can try to find a gig somewhere else. But Adini, I think the Steelers probably here intend on just redshirting him and keeping him on IR for the entire season and then bringing him back in training camp for next year. But again, both situations interesting and worth monitoring over the next couple weeks. Before we continue, want to let you guys know about MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I've been using them all year. They've become a staple of my football watching Sunday and really Saturday with college as well. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. If you haven't joined already, now is the time. If you join now, they're going to match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And if you wait until after 7 p.m., you're going to get an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. And that's in addition to matching your deposit dollar for dollar. Again, all you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON25. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you get that additional $25 of free play by using that promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And then before we talk about James Washington, I did want to update you guys on the conversation we had the other day about the defense and contextualizing the defense, you know, where it is in relation to the rest of the NFL and how the NFL is playing defense this year. Of course, you know, this has been such an offensive-centric year in the NFL, and there's breaking records left and right. Yeah, that game on Sunday Night Football, there's no punts in that game. One punt by the Chiefs in that football game. Again, defense feels like it's at an all-time low. It certainly is in Pittsburgh, at least in my lifetime, but it is that way around the NFL. And so that's why I found the statistic on Football Outsiders, their DVOA, so interesting when it came to the Steeler defense and ranking them as the league average right now. I mean, again, I think that speaks volumes to not the Steelers, but to the way the league has gone this year as far as, you know, the proliferation of just offense around the league. So again, I did want to give you guys an update on where they were after the game against Cincinnati, because again, we talked about this, them being kind of league average after Atlanta, but those updates went out. The Steelers did move up in the rankings, so they went from 16th to 14th, although I guess their ranking technically went down, or their DVOA went down, but their ranking went up because, it's all relative. The Steelers are now 14th instead of 16th in defensive DVOA, although their ranking went from 0%. Again, the way DVOA works is it's a percentage better or worse than the average defense that you are. I guess in this case, it's how offenses are against you. So it's, you have a negative percentage because, again, offenses are this much below average when they play your defense. whatever. Anyway, the Steelers moved from 0% to 0.3%. So again, not a huge move, not a huge shift there. They did actually go down though. Again, 0.3%, meaning that offenses are 0.3% better when playing the Steelers than they would be against an average defense in the NFL. So again, not a huge change, but interesting. Again, that a game against the Bengals where you can look at statistically and you could say, boy, the Steelers had a good statistic game against the Steelers. You can look at DVOA, and again, they rank this game as being below average. Because I think you look at what the Steelers did at the end of the first half, what they did at the end of that football game, just not a great performance in those moments, and those were key, crucial moments throughout the game. The other thing I found interesting in looking over Football Outsiders' DVOA report from this week was they also have the variance in DVOA from week to week, and the Steelers rank fourth worst in variance from week to week, meaning that defensively, you kind of never know what you're going to get with the Steelers defense, and we've certainly seen that at times. We've seen that throughout games, right? I mean, the Tampa game early on, you know, causing turnovers here and there, although some of that had to do with Tampa just making mistakes. But again, the first half of that game, much better defensively. In the second half, again, it all fell apart. Baltimore, you can kind of say the same thing with as far as the first half of that football game. You know, they were giving up deep passes, and it was, again, so much miscommunication in the secondary. They did clean that up a bit in the second half. It led to the Ravens having more methodical drives in the second half and just kicking field goals. Not a great second half. But again, the variance that we're seeing from this team week to week is just all over the place. I think, again, the last 2 weeks have been better, but still not where we want this team to be. Although, I think the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, again, we want this to be a great Steeler defense. I don't know that there is such a thing as great defense in the NFL anymore. You know, you look around the league, there's Buffalo, I guess, has a good defense. Baltimore certainly has a good defense. They just shut out the Tennessee Titans. And then Chicago, I mean, again, Chicago has a very good defense. Although, you know, giving up 28 points to Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson, it's so hard, again, to evaluate defenses in the modern NFL because, again, offense rules the day. But again, the Steelers did move from 16th to 14th in Football Outsiders defensive DVOA. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And for Steeler fans, that means a trip out to Heinz Field to see this team live. There are so many big games coming up here in the second half of the season. You got the Browns coming to town right after the bye week. Of course, Baker Mayfield coming to Heinz Field. You've got big game against the Panthers on a Thursday night. The Chargers are coming to town. Of course, the huge game against the Patriots at the end of the season. And then in week 17, you got the Bengals coming to town as well. There are so many big games coming up here at Heinz Field. If you have not seen a Steeler game in person, now is the time to get those tickets and see one of those games because, again, all of them seem like they're going to be fantastic football games. If you have already been to Heinz and you're looking for a great price on tickets, look no further. You can sort by price. You can look for tickets in the section and row of your choice. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more for a new customers of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, from the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theaters and more. Vivid Seats has it all. And then let's finish up today talking about James Washington. You know, no one hyped up James Washington more during preseason and during training camp than I did. And I certainly didn't expect him to have as slow a start to the season as he has. Look, James Washington during training camp, during preseason, made a name for himself as being a guy who was not just the deep threat that we thought he possibly could be, but he was also very good as a combat catch receiver and really caught everything that went his way, made some spectacular catches, not just in training camp, but also in those preseason games. And so as we got into the regular season, you know, there were still some question marks about James Washington, right? You know, getting his timing down with Ben Roethlisberger, right? Could he get the kind of separation and could he make these kind of plays against NFL starting caliber cornerbacks where he had been doing it in the preseason against second and third stringers, right? These were still open questions, but I think we all were pretty comfortable going into the regular season that James Washington, you know, was going to find his way. Maybe not, you know, game one, game two, but certainly by this point, I think we'd all expected James Washington would have had a much bigger impact than he's had so far. James Washington, through the first 6 weeks of the season, has just 5 catches In fact, 5 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown. 5 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown would be a decent stat line for a second or third receiver for one game. But for 6 games, not great for James Washington so far. Now, look, there's a lot of reasons for that, right? James Washington is not the first option in this offense. He's not the second option. He's not really the third option, right? He's either the fourth, fifth, sixth option in this offense, right? What, you know, you talk about going to AB, Juju, Vance McDonald, James Conner. You've got the emergence now of Ryan Switzer. Jesse James still there as a very good tight end in this offense as well. You know, it's just a lot of playmakers in this offense. And I think that is a large part of why we just haven't seen James Washington get as involved, right? They just haven't been designing a bunch of plays to go his way. He hasn't been the first or second read on a lot of these plays, it feels like, you know, and rightfully so, because there, again, there are so many other places for the ball to go. You know, when you compare James Washington and his start to where the Steelers were a year ago at their outside receiver position, I think a lot of people were excited to get James Washington in there to replace Martavis Bryant, who, again, Martavis Bryant didn't have a great year last year. And yet, through 6 games in 2017, Martavis Bryant had 7 catches for 231 yards and a touchdown. And again, that wasn't a great start for Martavis to 2017, but again, far above the 5 catches, 49 yards, and a touchdown that we've seen from James Washington. Now, look, I know it's not a fair comparison because, again, for Martavis, he was a number two receiver that they really were counting on to be a big part of the offense, especially given the fact that, you know, you had Le'Veon still working his way back from holding out all of training camp and all of preseason. You know, you didn't really have a third receiver. You had Juju, who was a rookie. You had Eli Rogers, who, you know, again, didn't play well at the beginning part of 2017. You had at tight end, you had Jesse James, and then you had Vance McDonald, but Vance McDonald was just recently signed. You know, that was an offense that really struggled at the early parts of 2017 to find a playmaker outside of Antonio Brown. And you know, again, so for Martavis, they were really hoping that he would go back to form his 2015 form when he was a fantastic receiver for this team. And I think that's why he saw so many targets and so many catches. I think the more fair comparison, I guess, would be to what Juju did at the beginning parts of last season. You know, through the first 6 weeks of 2017, Juju had 15 catches for 192 yards and 2 touchdowns. So again, still well above the pace of the 5 catches, 49 yards that James Washington has put up through the first 6 weeks. Look, Juju, again, had a slow start, but a steady start to 2017. He kind of worked himself in here and there, made big plays, kind of made his presence known in that offense, emerged himself as a playmaker, and then again really had that real emergence as the playmaker during that game against the Lions when he had that big the big 97 yarder. And again, that was a game where Martavis didn't play, and again, you got to see, you know, the full Juju experience in that one. James Washington, again, hasn't lived up to that hype either. But again, there's a lot of reasons why. Again, Juju kind of emerged as the number two receiver in the offense throughout 2017, whereas James Washington just isn't going to have that chance because we already have a number one, we have a number two. You can argue Vance McDonald's our number three. You can argue that Ryan Switzer has been our number four, right? So James Washington maybe is the fifth option in this offense, although then you have James Conner in there. Le'Veon's going to be coming back. Look, for James Washington, there are a lot of reasons why he hasn't been a part of this offense. Darryl Drake, the wide receiver coach, did do a little media scrum this week and talked to all of the media guys there about the entire wide receiver crew. I'm going to play for you a bit here where he talks about James Washington and his progression so far in 2018.
He's coming, you know, and again, it's a process for him too. You know, he's coming and we got to push him along faster and get him more involved. But when those opportunities come for him, he's got to be ready, again, to deliver, just like I said with Antonio. And those opportunities will come, and again, we just keep pressing the envelope and keep pushing him forward.
He's never been a great separation guy, but he's always been a combat catch type guy.
Been a combat catch guy, but, you know, in the National Football League, you know, we talk about separation. Separation in the National Football League is a step, you know, especially when you have man coverage and things like that. So he's able to do that in a lot of instances. The times that he's not, it may be a technical flaw or something that he may not have done. But again, it's a learning process for him, and we're going to continue to push him and help him grow and get to that point. And, you know, I still have the utmost confidence and faith in him that he'll continue to do that.
The light seemed to go on for Juju in the second half of last season. That's when he had the bulk of his production. Do you think rookies go through that sometimes? There's a learning curve in the first half of the season, and then...
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, in this game and in the pro game, we ask them to do so much. They really have to understand the coverages. They have to understand what safeties are doing. They have to understand the concepts of what we're asking them to do. And they have to be able to make that decision in less than a second. And you know, the thing that I try to get them to do and the thing that we all try to get them to do is not think, react. And the game is a reaction game. And you got to react in the right way. You got to make sure you're going right instead of left. And that's just the reaction part of it. And as time goes on, they get more and more comfortable. They get more and more of an understanding of what's happening to them, you know, because those guys on defense, they're on scholarship too. And those defensive coordinators are disguising coverages and doing different things to make you have to think. And that's the thing that as guys get more experienced, they don't have to think, they just react.
So Daryl Drake certainly sounding like he's optimistic about James Washington and his development going into the second half of the year, saying, you know, we have to push him a little harder. But, you know, again, there is a learning curve for this thing. It's more than just being a combat catch guy and all that as far as being a receiver in the NFL. Look, the worry for me with James Washington is not the five catches, the 49 yards, the touch. You know, again, there's only one football in this offense, and there's so many playmakers to get the ball to. And this offense has had problems at times, you know, getting the ball to AB and Ben with ball placement and getting started, getting the running game going, staying committed to the run late in football games. You know, all of that has been an issue. James Washington, you know, hasn't really made a blip as far as even being a problem in this offense just yet. My concern with James Washington is twofold. Number one, if you look at the catches and the number of targets, he has 14 targets on the year, just five catches. That's 36%. He's only catching 36% of the balls thrown his way. That's very bad as a receiver. Very, very bad. Juju is catching 65% of the balls thrown his way. Martavis last year, and again, Martavis had a slow start to 2017 where he was not great. He only caught 50% of the balls that went his way. Again, James Washington down to 36%. So far, that's not good. Now, James Washington has been targeted on a lot of deep balls. Ben has struggled with his accuracy on those plays, no doubt about it. But again, 36% is not where you want to be as a wide receiver. And then for me, the even more worrying part is that he's just kind of being phased out of the offense at this point. The last 2 weeks, the offense has been at its best, you know, throughout the season. And James Washington has only been targeted once in those two games. One target in the last 2 weeks, and that was a deep ball against Cincinnati. He only played 16 snaps this week against the Bengals. And you look at his snap count throughout the season, he is being phased out. 66 snaps against Kansas City in his first start, then 40 against Tampa, then 47 against Baltimore, then 35 against Atlanta, and now just 16 against the Bengals. And what's even worse than that, and again, you can say, okay, well, you know, they played a lot of two tight end, three tight end sets in this game, and that's why he didn't see the field as much. The problem is, not only did he not see the field as much, Justin Hunter, his biggest competition at outside receiver, the player that he replaced in week two because of how disappointing Hunter was in week one, Justin Hunter saw 14 snaps against the Bengals to James Washington 16. That is concerning to me because the question is going to be going into the second half of the year, is James Washington even going to be active on Sundays? I would find it very hard to believe that they're going to sit him on inactive for the second half of the season and start Justin Hunter. But look at the evidence, right? Look at the evidence. James Washington has only been targeted once the last 2 weeks, and the offense has been very good. You know, again, without targeting him, he's seeing less and less snaps every week leading up to this week, where he not only sees just as many snaps, again, 16 to 14 between he and Justin Hunter. But look who was on the field during that last drive. Who was the wide receiver that was opposite Antonio Brown at outside receiver? It wasn't James Washington. It was Justin Hunter. When the game was on the line, when that team needed a drive to score, who was out there at outside receiver? It was Justin Hunter. It was not James Washington. That is a worrying sign because, again, all of the optimism that Daryl Drake is projecting to the media, he is not showing on the field. The confidence level of the coaching staff in James Washington, again, according to how they're playing him, is at an all-time low. That is concerning to me. Again, I'm not saying that James Washington is a bust or anything like that. 6 weeks into the season, it's far, far, far too early to be making any judgments like that. But we talk about James Washington as being a contributor in this offense, another playmaker that we can start to count on as the year goes on. And I'm just not so sure. I do want to throw some cold water on that idea. James Washington, year one, I don't want to call it a lost year, but he's just not going to be the player that we were expecting. Certainly not the player that I was expecting going into this season. I think there is a chance that when Darius Heyward-Bey is healthy again, and that will probably be against the Browns, there is a chance that it will be Justin Hunter who will be active and starting at outside receiver, and it will be James Washington who is inactive on Sundays. Again, it would be surprising, but again, not that surprising considering where the Steelers are right now with James Washington. So again, I'm happy to hear Daryl Drake say he's optimistic about James Washington and his development and pushing him throughout the second half of 2018. But again, I am concerned with where James Washington is just from a playing time standpoint, a confidence standpoint from the coaching staff in him going through. So it's going to be interesting to watch how James Washington is used throughout the second half of 2018. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.